morning. Welcome to Ebenezer's Online Services. We are so glad that you joined us today. We know that Pastor Woods has a timely word for us. Enjoy, be blessed, and please stay safe.
Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's so good to be back. As always, I just thank God for what he's allowed us as a body to do, to be able to connect with those that are in different places. I just praise the Lord that his word is still going out and souls are being saved and added to the body as he sees fit. I want to remind you, please keep connected with family, friends, loved ones. We have a lot of people that are even outside of Ebenezer that have been added to our body, and I'm blessed about that. Also, the app, if you know someone who doesn't have the app, encourage them to get that app so they can get the notifications and stay abreast of everything that's going on. Also want to remind you that our 8:45 and our 10:45 services, in-person services at the church, going well. Just pray as we go forth in the future. We're trying to social distance as best as possible. Also, we are using masks. For those who may be concerned, need a little bit more distance, our 8:45, generally that's a little bit more open than our 10:45, talked to our leaders the other day. And we're just praying, just trying to make decision to help everyone to be comfortable. We realize everybody hasn't been vaccinated, but we do want to encourage you to be vaccinated as you're led of the Holy Spirit, and that you'll make the choice that fits you the best. We actually have something on our website from the Carter family that a wonderful testimony about some apprehensions with taking the vaccination, but they were led of the Lord to take that. So whatever state you're in, whatever place you're in, please consider that as we go forth, as we still see COVID is still out there. I actually had a friend the other day that was diagnosed with COVID, and he's going through, him and his wife. So just lift up Pastor Wood's friend that's dealing with COVID now. Also, I want to announce that this coming Tuesday, we're going to have a church conference video call. We'll be using the same number that we've used all year during this pandemic. If you have put that somewhere or you don't have it, just check with one of your deacons, our leaders, and they'll get that number. And it's going to be this Tuesday at 6:30. Just want to answer any questions, make sure that we're all on the same page as we go forth, and we just hear the voice of the Lord together. I want to thank you so much for your giving and using ebcnc.com or our app. God has just been good to us, and God loves a cheerful giver, and I am exhilarated to be a part of a body that understands the cheerfulness in giving with no pressure. So thank you, whether you're using that app again or ebcnc.com, or you're sending into our secure mailbox, or you're in our in-person services, and we had to change the way we even do offerings. We have a box now. It reminds me of the Old Testament where they would give their gifts of love into this big box when you come in. So we just thank God for all that, and all our leaders for all that you do. Just want to give you a scripture. Lord just kind of led me to. It says in Romans 8:10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And for those who are believers, aren't you glad that Christ is in us? I am. I am so excited to be saved and delivered and set free. And there ought to be some people on the chat saying hallelujah in your living rooms, hallelujah, to have Christ in us. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for on this day that you've made, and Lord, truly help us to understand why we should rejoice and be glad in it. You have done so much for us. I thank you for the body of Ebenezer. I thank you how you've given us wise leaders, Lord. I thank you how you've brought us together as one, Lord, in this time. Please help us to continue to reach out to those who are going through, Lord. We've got some bereaved families. We've got some that are sick, Lord, some medical challenges, some that are coming through procedures. Lord, we've got some that have contracted COVID on the outside associated with our friends and families, and we lift them up right now. Lord, as we go from day to day, we just need to hear your voice, the Holy Spirit, as we've been teaching on that. Holy Spirit, just speak to us. And Lord, I thank you that this word today will speak to someone out there in a very, very special way, Father God, as they need encouragement as they go through their days. I just give you praise for your covering, for your provisions, and that you are God and God alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, to show that the Lord has been blessing, on last Sunday we had a baptism, and guess what? We've got another baptism today that we want to share with you. Brother Charles Simmons put on the whole armor of the Lord, and I want to tell you that it was an awesome experience. The Holy Spirit really showed up, just grabbed my heart, and I felt like I was just in the presence of Christ as he was baptized, and he submitted, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased." And as Charles really broke some generational curses, the Lord, I believe he was very pleased. So without further ado, the baptism, we want to share it with you, and we'll be back soon to jump back into God's word for today.
First off, I want to thank everyone for being here. I greatly appreciate everyone and the support. Like, this means a lot. I also want to lead in prayer, everyone. Dear Heavenly Father, on this day, this isn't about me, this is about you, Lord, and my submission to you. I'm here, Father God, to break chains. I'm here, Lord, to break bondage. I'm here, Lord, to renew myself and to turn away from sinful ways. Father God, I ask with this guidance of this prayer, Lord, that you loose your roaring angels, Father God, to encamp around about us, Lord, and give me strength, Father God. Give everyone in this place peace, Lord. We loose your spirit of peace, Lord. We loose your spirit of unity, Lord. We loose your spirit of love, Father God, upon this place, Lord. And we ask, Father God, that you be with us. Equip everyone, Father God, with the armor of God. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, Father God. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone, Father God, and including our roaring angels that you have loose and protection over us, Father God. Father, we ask, Lord, that you encamp around about us, Lord, an invisible fiery shield protecting us against the enemy. Let no weapon form against us, Father God. Prosper on this day before that weapon return back to the center, destroying it both the center and the weapon by fire in the name of Jesus, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone in this place, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, and we give you all the honor and all the praise, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Briefly, as for my testimony, I chose to do this for several reasons. Number one, like I said, I wanted to break bondage, yokes, and chains. And everyone that knows me personally knows how I feel about that. They know I want to change this. They know I want to make corrections in my life. They know I want to make peace with my situation. They know I want to make peace with my past, and that includes my parents as well. My parents are not here, but this is for them. This is for my parents. I'm here to correct things from not just from their generation, but from beyond that. If anyone has not been here for in my family wise to do this, I am here to do it, to be the first person to be chosen to do it. And I accept where I'm at. I accept it. I'm here to be a role model. I'm here to be an example, not just for people here, but even people that are watching, even people who can even be here on this day. I know that. And that, again, I accept my role. And also, too, in Psalms 103, 15 through 16, it says that we are like grass, and we will wither one day. And upon that, the wind will blow, and our place will not be there no more. So I say this to everyone. Make peace with everyone that's around you that you need to make peace with while we still have the breath. Give people their flowers while they're alive. Do not wait till they go to their grave and give it. Do not do that. Make peace with everybody now, because when we get to that point, we won't be able to do it. It is too late. It is too late. So again, I come here and I claim this day for the Lord, and I declare that this day is for him. And I am proud to do this. I'm proud to glorify him in his name. I'm proud to be a part of his kingdom. And I hope that anybody in this crowd, and even people that are watching, that I'm touching with these words, use my words, Lord, to anoint them, Lord. Use them, Lord. Somebody here is going to hear this. I know it. So I just ask everyone, again, just make right with their past, correct it. Correct their past, correct anything that they need to do to make peace with those that are around them. It is very important because I feel it. He is coming. And that's what got me here. I don't want to wait till it's too late, y'all. I did not want to wait till it was too late. And again, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. And I thank you, Lord, just to give you praise, just to say thank you each and every day, y'all. Y'all got to do it. Y'all have to not only do it, but read your Bible. Read it daily. Devote intentions time to him. It is very important. He will wake you up in the middle of the night to get you up. That is what that is. Get up. Rise up and study. Over time, it's going to get better with that. And your days are going to be traveled with peace. Your days are going to travel with peace. We are going to have troubled days, as it said in 1 Peter. He said that. Things are going to be weird. Things are going to be strange. And I've seen that. So everyone, just believe in God. Trust in him. And that's why I'm here. I'm trusting in him. I'm submitting openly to him. I'm submitting openly to everyone. So that on this day, y'all can remember this and he can remember this. I'm making him proud today. And I'm making my angels proud because I know they was waiting for me. They was waiting for me. And I joked with Dane. I said, man, they going to be jumping up. They going to rejoice and all of that stuff. And I said, yep, I'm here. That was a storm last night. Even on the way that we came, it was hell. It was a lot of rain. It was everything. And I told her before this week was going to happen, I was going to be tested. I already know it. And that's part of getting to know God. He's going to let you know what it is. But you have to listen. You have to listen. You have to be in a position to listen. You have to give him praise when it is needed. Do not hold him from his praise and his honor. Do not hold him for that. That is his. And he made that known. That is his. Praise that man. Praise him. And even sometimes, like last night, when I was praying, I was going heavy for at least 30 strong minutes. And I even lost strength at that point. Because I wanted everyone to be covered. I wanted everyone to do right. I want everyone to place healing upon their hearts and their souls and their minds and bodies included. And also importantly, we have to forgive each other for our ways. It is not the person. It is not the person. It is the spirit. It is the spirit. We have to forgive everyone for their ways, y'all. Make it right. That's my speech to everyone today. Make it right. Make it right. Thank you, everyone.
Put your trust in Mommy Charles and the confession of your faith. I now take pleasure in baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. Thank God for saving me. Thank God. I do thank God. I thank God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all my soul cries out, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for saving me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for saving me.
I pray that you are just happy in Jesus to be saved and to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Today we're jumping right back into our study of the Holy Spirit. We are introduced to the Holy Spirit as our topic scripture in Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on and says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And I love this part. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And so he's introduced us early in that second verse. That is the power of the Spirit that we're dealing with, that topic, the power of the Spirit that works in us. And we've been talking about his personality traits as he connects with us as we're saved through Jesus Christ and what he's done. Remember that theological term, pneumatology, that we've been using. Pneumo means breath, ontology, logos, the study of the Spirit of God. And again, we should be so blessed that he dwells in us. Before we go any further, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for another opportunity, Lord, to peruse your word, to hear your voice. Lord, we thank you that all things work to the good of those who love you and are called according to your plan and purpose. Lord, maybe there's someone listening in, viewing, that does not know you. Would you help today to be their day, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God is raised from the dead. Lord, let them know that this salvation is a gift, Father, and help them to receive that wonderful gift today, grace through faith, not of themselves, a gift of you. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We're learning about you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you for your anointing that truly makes the difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want to progress to the seventh chapter a little further in there. And I want to look at the 55th verse, Acts chapter 7 and 55. It reads, but he, that's Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Again, Acts 7:55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I want to speak from a title today. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's good. I want you to get it. Glory to God. Maybe there's someone that's sitting next to you. Just reach over to them, grab them, or high five and say glory to God. From last time, we were actually in Acts 6 and 3. We've been working 4, 5, 6, learning about the New Testament church, this early church, this church that's walking in power. There's been a lot of struggle, but through that struggle, God has always brought them back even stronger. We were in Acts 6, 3 on last time. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And the Holy Spirit wants to use you was the title on last time. Some points in review from that message to help us to transition where we are. We talked about problems in the body. We saw that. And again, God was able to work through that. full of the Holy Spirit. You gotta be full of the Holy Spirit, and this can be an extensive refilling we learned from the scriptures, prayer and the word, all foundation points, worthy men, exponential growth. God is actually exponentially growing the church. Believers are just becoming a part of the body. Faith and power, and the Spirit speaks. As we become more cognizant of the Holy Spirit, He does. He wants to use us, and He speaks through us in a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful way that can only be done by God's powerful hand. The time frame is around 80, 35, 36. Time is progressing from Jesus being raised from the dead. The church just on fire because they know the Messiah is real and that He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Church, again, has gone through some valleys. God has brought them forth even stronger. They've dealt with the widows, the fallout with the Grecians and the Hebrews, and God raised up some seven strong men that were full of the Holy Spirit, had discernment, and one of them was Stephen. Out of this, they were just serving tables, and took over the business so the apostles could actually get more in prayer and in the Word of God. But Stephen is the diamond that really shines out in the rough. Stephen is the opportunity, or gets the opportunity, to speak to Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, those who are in charge, the religious groups. And as he's speaking, he's sharing about Jesus the Christ. But the Holy Spirit is working in him, and really goes back to the Torah and historical writings, and brings it forth to speak to the crowd and the people that were in it. And basically, he brings out that you have rebelled against God's word. You have resisted. We're going to deal with that. Resisted the voice of God all through history. And now, as we pick up this particular verse, the 51st verse, he is bringing that message to a climax in a very anointed and powerful way. It says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." Wow, first point, just jump into it, resisting the Holy Spirit. Resisting the Holy Spirit. Now, this is something we need to process here. They're listening. They're out there. They're trying to grasp all the different details that Stephen is talking about. But now he brings out the true nature of the people that are listening. Stephen, when he says this, he's not being mean. He's actually quoting from what God has already said. In Exodus 33:5, he says, "For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst into one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you." This a stiff-necked in the Hebrew language is a very strong picture. The linguist Arthur Evans, he gives us an understanding of using this term. It says, "The plow was usually drawn by two oxen. As the plowman required but one hand to guide the plow, he carried in the other hand an ox goad. This was a light pole shod with an iron spike. With this, he would prick the oxen upon the hind legs to increase their speed, and upon the neck to turn or to keep straight, of course, when deviating. If an ox was hard to control or stubborn, it was hard of neck or stiff-necked. Hence, the figure was used in the scriptures to express the stubborn, intractable spirit of a people not responsive to the guiding of their God." Now, I find this very impactful as we think about this crowd, these religious leaders. They didn't want to hear. They did not want the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But we've got to ask ourselves, have we been stiff-necked when it came to the Holy Spirit? Have we resisted the Holy Spirit's guidance? I don't want us to forget this part of the scripture, Acts 7:54, in that last part, it says, "You always resist the Holy Spirit," saying that over and over again. Have we resisted the Holy Spirit in the church. This is an indictment upon our leaders. Have our leaders resisted the Holy Spirit? The same things that were happening with this crowd and the religious leaders and the establishment that was supposed to be holy is happening in our season and time. And maybe that's why God has allowed some of these serious things to come to shake us up, glory to God, and so that we could realize that God is up to a magnificent work within the world right now. Resistant to the Spirit comes to this point, and this is what it's distilled down to. We just don't want to change. We like the way things are, and when we like the way things are and don't want to allow ourselves to be transformed to what God wants, we're resisting His movement. Look at this as he jumps into this a little closer, Acts 7:52-53. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Here's another point. We have someone greater. We have someone greater. Now, this is significant as we think of this, because Stephen is talking. He's saying, you're murderers. You've betrayed what God is trying to do. God wanted you all to be His chosen people, but yet you've gone astray. You've gone after other gods. There was no excuse. God had done and showed His love. He had sent prophet after prophet. And then it brings out within the scripture, they had actually received the law via angels. And when I think about that, I think about Gabriel. I think about the descriptions of angels, how strong they are. And saints of God, we may think, man, if we had an angel in this day and time delivering the word, we'd be more focused on God. But no, we have something more. We've got God's Spirit. We have what Jesus has done for us, enabling God's Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us. The saints of old could only imagine what we have, glory to God, on the inside of us. Hebrews 2:1 kind of gives us an example of what's going on. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward. Look at this verse 3. Focus in, please, with me. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Again, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We have someone that's better, someone that's more, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to him us by those who heard him. God also, look at this, bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God, according to His own will. We have God's Spirit, and He wants to use us. Glory to think about God working on the inside of the believer. And we get this beautiful example as Stephen is being used of God. Let's look at the Holy Spirit move even more in Acts 7:54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Here's another point. How will you respond to the Holy Spirit? This is a question. How will you respond to the Holy Spirit? Their response is they became angry. They gnashed and wanted to shut down the vehicle that was being used. They wanted to stop this powerful word from coming forth. Look at Acts 7:54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Now, in the Greek, this is a word, is diaprio, and it brings a big picture of what's going on. It means when the word came, it cut deep. Actually, have a saw, and if you see, it's got the teeth on it. The other day, I was using another saw, and I had a slip, and I actually cut myself. And when I cut myself, the teeth went down into my skin. It cut. It got deep into the skin. And the same way, this is the picture that's brought forth here. When the word of God comes forth, it will cut you. It will dig down deep in you. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Please understand, it will cut for and it cuts back. It cuts. The word of God will get down in you. And this is what was happening when Stephen was preaching. The old saint said, "It'll either draw you or drive you." Saints of God, the word comes forth, and this crowd, they have to make a decision if they're going to believe. Glory to God. Look at Acts 7:55-56. "But Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" Here's another point. The Holy Spirit enables you to see. The Holy Spirit enables you to see. Those on the chat, just want to make sure you're engaged. Just type out "see," S-E-E. The Holy Spirit enables you to see. Glory to God. And so Stephen at this point, he's been preaching. He's bringing it to a climax. The crowd's attitudes are changing so quickly at this point. And now he pushes them over. As he's preaching, as he's delivering the word, all of a sudden he looks, and God peels back the heavens. Oh, wow. The Holy Spirit enables you to see. Glory to God. John Newton in 1725, thereabout, he wrote the hymn "Amazing Grace." Now, John Newton had a background that it wasn't so pretty. He was actually a slave owner, and he was in slave trade. But he got saved, and God opened up his eyes, and he put this stanza. He said, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." The Holy Spirit enables you to see. Stephen is enabled to see something that the people can't see around him. He's able to see God's powerful presence. Look at Acts 7:55 closely. "He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Glory to God. This is beautiful as the heavens crack open and he's able to peer up into the third heavens that Paul the Apostle talked about, 56, and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." What a privilege. What a privilege as he's preaching. He's proclaiming the word of God. And now the Holy Spirit allows him to come and connect with the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And the heavens open up and they see Jesus standing while Stephen is proclaiming at this point, and his death is imminent. God celebrates him. Saints of God, we need to think about our lives. We need to think about the things that we go through and ask ourselves, glory to God, are our lives glorifying God? Are our lives being an example of God's powerful hand working in us? 2 Corinthians 4:16 talks about this flesh, and so often we focus on it, but please, God has allowed us to have this flesh for this period of time. 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." We see this picture within Stephen, 2 Corinthians 4:17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." Glory to God. "For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Stephen is able to look into eternity, literally. Remember my dad preaching in sermon 2020, "Vision and Still Blind." Saints of God, we need to make sure that we understand that through our salvation, salvation through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit helps us to see. And if we're not saved, we're just blind men and blind women stumbling around in the dark. And I would even submit to you, until we become more aware of God's voice, we will stumble and will fall. But I'm so glad that God is raising up some saints. There ought to be some, hallelujah, some saints that are desiring more, desiring to hear the voice of God, desiring to hear the Holy Spirit and to be used mightily of God. Glory to God. Look at Acts 7, 57 and 8. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Here's another point. Please don't stop listening. Please don't stop listening. Now in our thought pattern, you know, our tradition that we've been raised up, you would think at this point, man, he's bringing to a climax, man, the God has showed up, he's able to see Jesus, altar call. You know, people would run to the altar and fall down and confess Jesus Christ as the Messiah, but it doesn't always happen that way. There's sometimes you're going to preach your best sermon, your best proclamation, you're going to hear the Holy Spirit, and people are not going to run, they're not going to accept Christ, they're going to actually run away from Christ, and they're going to come at you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to try to cause problems in your life. But glory to God, as long as you're hearing the voice of the Lord and on the right track that God would have you to be, please, God put this on my heart, this quote, this thought pattern. It says, when you stop listening to God, you automatically run into the devil's arms. I'm going to say that again. When you stop listening to God, you automatically run into the devil's arms. This is what they're doing at this point in this scripture. They're stopping their ears. We don't want to hear anymore. So now the enemy is able to come in and he begins to take in control of the situation. But please notice that even though the enemy is coming in, God is still in control. Jesus speaks of the church of Ephesus, that they were having issues with listening and making sure that they're keeping God's voice first. Revelations 2:4, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Saints of God, could we have come to the point of closing our ears just as this crowd, not wanting to listen? And we've got to make sure that we're going back to our first love, that we're in love with Jesus and the Spirit of God that he's put on the inside. And we need to repent. There needs to be a crowd. Put in your chats, repent. We need to repent and say, God, I've messed up. I've got issues in my life. Lord, use me for your service. Sanctify me. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to speak strongly in our lives? We have so many distractions in our lives. We've got our phones, and we've got our jobs, and we've got our cars. We've got things that are going on that we want to do. And so often, God is saying, I want to speak to you. How often is he trying to speak to us, but yet we don't want to listen? We just go right down our own way and we shut God out. The spirit is greed within us. Proverbs 5:7 says, therefore hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Glory to God. This group, this crowd, they decide not to fall down and repent, but they don't want to listen anymore. Is that what our society is going through right now, where people just don't want to listen? As we look at the trials that are going on and we're seeing people that are going through and being indicted simply because they would not listen. People cried out and put a voice to change, to stop the actions, but they would not listen. This is epidemic. As we think of our society and our lives, people, our children don't want to listen. Adults don't want to listen. Leadership doesn't want to listen, but God is saying there must be a change. Glory to God. Look at Acts 7:59. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Here's another point. Calling on God. Calling on God. These people are coming at him. And now this is the culmination. He's being stoned, literally they are picking up stone. Interesting, the history of this, the Jews, at least at this point in the history, were not supposed to be allowed to take out this corporal punishment. Old Testament, they did it. We understand that. But now the Romans were in charge. And somewhat Pilate must have just kind of turned his head, a deaf ear. He didn't want to deal with this. And he allowed them, this first martyr, Stephen, this death to take place as they're stoning, calling on God. Look at this closely, 759. Stone Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Glory to God. When I think about the potential of the believer's life, that no matter what we're going through, we still got to praise. That no matter what the struggles that we're going through, we can still lift our hands. No matter what loss that we've experienced, we know that we're more than conquerors. No matter what doors have been closed in our face, we know that God can open up those doors or just cause us to walk right through the doors. We understand with God, all things are possible. Here's Stephen as he's dying, being stone, anguish coming to his body, pressures of the rocks hitting him. He's able to cry out to the Lord, "Receive my spirit." Does this remind you of Jesus? Remember in Luke 23:44, "Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.'" Sound familiar here? Having said this, he breathed his last. The Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus. Yes, in the believer, we sound more like Christ. He's always bringing us to be and imitate what Christ did. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Look at verse Acts 7 and 60. It says, "Then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Here's his last point. The Holy Spirit enables you to forgive. In the chats in your homes, just say forgive. Type out forgive, forgive. Because some of you need to shout right now, because you're like, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Glory to God." That's what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're becoming more aware of God's presence, you got to forgive. You got to forgive. You got to let some stuff go. And you realize that, and your spirit is troubled until you just say, I submit, God. And you let that thing go. The Holy Spirit enables you to forgive. This again sounds just like Jesus. Luke 23:32. "There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left." 34. "Then Jesus said, 'Listen, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots." I don't want to forget this part, this last part of that 60th verse. It says, "And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Isn't that beautiful? Rocks are coming. He's literally dying. He's seen the presence of God. Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father. He says, "Father, forgive them and receive my spirit." And then God said, "Okay, it's finished now." He just kneels down. That's what the scripture, he kneels down and he falls asleep. That's the life of the believer. We are living an everlasting life. No matter if this flesh passes away, we know that God is still working it out. Please understand, 2 Corinthians 5:1 says it like this: "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked." Glory to God. To know that even if this earthly body passes away, this tent, God is up to something. Fourth verse: "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Anybody shout hallelujah for the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Stephen understood that. The 7th verse, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And I'm so glad to say glory to God again, because isn't that what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary, taking the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet? He dies on the cross of Calvary. He gives up his spirit, and there they put him in a cold tomb. He gets up on the third day with all power and all glory for us, that we could have this magnificent, awesome Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and we can say glory to God. And no matter what the situation is, we can say, God, use us for your service. Order ourselves. And even as Stephen gives up his final breath for the will of God, we can know in our lives, as we walk day in and day out, God, use us. Help us to testify. Help us to live a life that exemplifies you. Saints of God, what is your life saying? Stephen was willing to die for his beliefs. Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, was willing to be used to the utmost. And his life was poured out as a beautiful sacrifice to God right before a crowd that has lost control. Saints of God, these are dark times as we look at the news and we see violence going to an exponential value. When we see racism in an exponential level. When we see all kinds of craziness come in, diseases of all types, COVID-19 and other variants. Saints of God, I'm telling you, it's getting closer that Jesus, our Savior, the one that died and was raised on the third day with all power, it's coming back. And he wants to use us. I believe that this is an end time revival time where we are being sanctified. We are being separated. And God is saying, you gotta hear me and follow me. Saints, let us not lose our first love. Repent that we can be used in a wonderful way like Stephen. If you don't know Christ, I pray today is your day, that you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. He said, you will be saved. Oh, what good news to know that Messiah is real, that he's alive and well. He's actually praying for us and he's coming back again. Oh, I want your home to be with an eternity with him. God is real. As you're contemplating right now, I want to pray with you, but I pray that the Spirit of God enter in where you are. Maybe your living room or in a car. Maybe you're on a break right now and God just allowed you to get to this point to want to hear the Word of God. I believe God is moving in a strong way. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for these scriptures. Glory to God. I thank you, God, for using a man like us, Stephen. Lord, forgive us of our sins. We failed so often, but thank you for another opportunity. Thank you for another second, a minute, an hour, a day to be used of you. Lord, as we go through our days, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you speak? Would you help us in our lives to glorify Jesus and all that he's done? Thank you again, Father, for saving souls, delivering and setting free. Thank you for reviving your saints in these last days. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you got all in your vessel and your lamp trimmed and burning? Or be ready when the bridegroom comes. Have you got all in your vessel, your lamp trimmed and burning? Lord, be ready when the bridegroom. And grace, Lord, how sweet the sound, Lord, that saves. lamb trimmed and burning. I'll be ready when the bridegroom. Have you got oil in your vessel? Your lamb trimmed and burning. Lord, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I came to Jesus just as I was. Lord, I was very wounded and sad. Lord, I found in Him, Lord, a resting place. Lord, and He has made me glad. Have you got all in your vessel and your lamp trimmed and burning? I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Have you got all in your vessel, your lamp trimmed and burning? Lord, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes.
Glory to God. I'm just, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for us, and that even He can use Stephen in such a magnanimous way, I'm telling you, we need to be encouraged as we go through our week to be more in tune to the voice of God. I want to remind you again, our church video call conference call coming up Tuesday, 6:30. Please, if you can be there, just to make sure we're on the same page as we are, hearing the voice of God speak to us via the Holy Spirit. I am so glad. I've said this so often. I am so glad I'm saved. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.